Hello, everyone. This is Brother Josh Hodge with the Magnify Him Together podcast. This is episode number 20. Today, we're going to start a new series, a seven-part series entitled Mighty Lessons from Mighty Men. And part one is entitled The Armor of God. It's good to be with you wherever you are, perhaps listening in the car, or maybe you are starting off with this podcast in the morning. But I want you to think about something. There is a lot of violence in the Old Testament. Why is that? What do we get from that? What do we learn when we are so far removed from the type of violence that happened back then? Even from faithful men and women that God may have commanded to do some of that violence. Have you thought of that? Think about Abraham. He had trained men to fight. And it said that by night he pursued someone called Chedorlaomer and the kings. It says of Abraham that he slaughtered them to save Lot. That was Abraham, the man that received the promises. What about Joshua surrounding Jericho? Destroyed the city. It says the walls fell down flat. And it says in the verses that everything in it was destroyed. Man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, with a sword. And then there was the ambush at Ai, in which none were saved. Or what about when Joshua chased Adonai Zedek and the five kings because they were attacking Gibeon, and Joshua had made an agreement with Gibeon, and so Joshua traveled all night to fight Adonai Zedek and the kings. And do you remember that the kings fled? This is when the sun stood still and there was hail. The kings fled, and Joshua told the captains, put rocks over the cave so they can't get out. And finally, Joshua, when he eventually came to the cave at Makeda, had them take the stones away, and the kings were brought out, and the captains put their foot on the necks of the kings, and Joshua slew them, it said, with his own hands. Joshua himself. And then they were hung. What about Ehud, who secretly had a gift for Eglon, but that gift was the death that he would give him by stabbing him with a dagger? Or Jael. Do you remember what it says of Jael? It says of her that she put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. With the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. What about Gideon winning a war with 300 men against Midian? He did it with trumpets and pitchers. What about Samson killing 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey? It's exhausting just listing them all. Perhaps you cringe at some of the stories. How could this possibly relate to me? What am I supposed to take from this? And we know we're supposed to take things from this. Do you remember what that passage says in Romans 15? Whatever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so these stories give us hope. But how? Because we don't do any of those things today. And what did Christ say? Do you remember what Christ said? He said to Peter, when Peter tried to lift up a sword, he said, put again thy sword into his place, for All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And Jesus was saying, we don't use the sword today. And I'm not asking you to use the sword. Put it away. But then Jesus also said, in Matthew 10 and verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. But how did Jesus use a sword? We never witnessed him wielding a sword, ending people's lives through this weapon. Well, there is a lesson for us, and it's very powerful. I want you, if you are able, to turn with me to Ephesians 6. Come with me to Ephesians 6, because this is going to build the lesson for the next 6 podcasts as well. Ephesians 6 has the answer for us. Now, what does it say? Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so there's a new type of armor that we use today. It's based on the literal armor that somebody like Joshua would have used, or Ehud, or Gideon. But it's called the armor of God. It's the power of his might. It's being strong in the Lord. And that's the emphasis, both then when the faithful men fought, it was still God's strength. And it's using God's strength now as well, just in a different way. Now notice what it says. It said, verse 11, that we stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, wiles are deceit. It's craftiness. It's trickery of the devil. What's the devil? Do you remember that verse, Hebrews 2:14, that Christ destroyed him that had the power of death? You remember that verse? Destroyed him that has the power of death, that is, the devil. Now think to yourself, maybe even say it out loud. What has the power of death? What did you say? It's sin, isn't it? Sin has the power of death. The wages of sin is death. And we need the armor of God to fight against sin. Sin is likened to a king, isn't it? And the only way to survive sin is by taking on the armor of God. Now, verse 12 says, we wrestle. And the word wrestle is a very interesting word, right? It's like a war. It's a battle. In fact, if you look it up in the Greek, it says it's a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. That is victory. Holding the opponent down. And that's what we want to do to sin. That's the lesson in Ephesians 6. Because it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't kill people like Samson did. Like Abraham did. Like Jael did. But against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness. And you know, it's not just fighting against the concept of sin, but it's in sin in all forms, in people, in groups, in school systems, in workplaces, in rulers, in media, in famous people, in advertising. Sin can be found there, and it can be found in ourselves as well. And that's what we need to fight against. So what is the armor of God? What do we use today? Well, We have our loins girt about with truth. That's a belt. A belt holds everything in place. And Paul says, we need the truth. The truth holds everything in place. God is a God of truth. And we need to follow his truth. We're also supposed to have a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate protects the heart and the vital organs. We are to seek first the righteousness of God. That's what protects us. Doing what is right. Always choose right over wrong. Ask the question, what is right about this, not what is wrong? That is part of the armor as well. Well, our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must be ready, prepared to go. Ready to speak the gospel. And what's the gospel all about? It's the good tidings of peace. We need to be ready to speak that and to teach that all over. And it doesn't create war, it creates peace. That is the ultimate goal, peace in the kingdom age, after sin is put away. But above all, there's these three other elements. These are the visual elements, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. It's a shield of faith. And what does it do? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked, and you can picture a soldier, and he's fighting everybody in front, and now the flaming arrows come overhead, hundreds of them, and it seems impossible. How could he possibly avoid the flaming arrows while also fighting the men in front? He had to have faith. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God? Do you believe Jesus will return? Do you believe Jesus will be king? We need to believe those things. That's what will help us get through the fiery darts of the wicked, sin coming at us in all forms, the trials and the tribulations. We need a helmet to protect our head. It's a helmet of salvation. Our head is what allows us to reason. It allows us to think of that great hope, the hope of salvation. But we need a sword. It's the only weapon of attack, the Word of God, which can penetrate our hearts and our minds. That is what we use to convert, to combat sin. It was Jesus that always quoted the scriptures that overcome the temptations before him. And so when we consider mighty men in the next six podcasts, we must remember that while they fought real battles and real wars, our war is just as real. It is just as hard and challenging. But we don't use a physical sword or shield as they might. We use the armor of God, because that's what Paul tells us to do. Put on the armor of God. And so the lessons from the Old Testament will be very powerful for us today. And Lord willing, next week, next Monday, we'll consider part two of Mighty Lessons from Mighty Men, and we'll consider Joshua Beam, the Hackmanite.